welcome to TMO's Daily Observations. Today is February 18th, 2016, and joining me today, we have Dave Hamilton.
Hi, Brian. It's Thursday, folks, for those of you following along at home. Yeah, it's a show we do every weekday, so we like to say the weekday, too.
It's a sausage-making day.
It is. Brian is hosting for the first time today because Jeff is out on some other business.
Just never recorded this way.
Right.
And also, we have a special treat. We have John Keat, the Devil's Advocate.
Hi, fellas.
Joining us as well. How are you doing, John?
Doing good. Trying to keep my anger in check today.
Right. Well, nothing can go wrong then. Nothing can go wrong. Because today we are going to be talking about two different aspects of Apple's ongoing legal feud with the FBI and now the court systems. Court system, singular. Why don't we start with... let's actually start with Google.
Sounds good.
All right.
Google's where most people on the internet start every day, so it seems...
It's true. So Google CEO Sundar Pichai, this would be the person, he was a Google executive before Alphabet was formed. Alphabet, the holding company where Larry Page went and became CEO of Alphabet. And Sundar was promoted to CEO of Google. And he, you know, we've all been looking to see what the rest of the Silicon Valley giants were going to do after Apple's open letter in support of privacy and security. And we have sort of, I called it a milquetoast reaction. He had five tweets to answer Tim Cook's open letter that was, I don't know, about 1,000 words or so. And his five tweets said, I guess I'll just read them out here. First one, forcing important post by Tim Cook, he said. So he did acknowledge Tim's post is important. Forcing companies to enable hacking could compromise users' privacy. Second one, we know that law enforcement and intelligence agencies face significant challenges in protecting the public against crime and terrorism. Third, we build secure products to keep your information safe, and we give law enforcement access to data based on valid legal orders. Four, but that's wholly different than requiring companies to enable hacking of customer services and data. Could be a troubling precedent. Number five, looking forward to a thoughtful and open discussion on this important issue.
The only thing I'll correct is it was enable hacking of customer devices and data, not services and data. And I think that's an important distinction.
It is.
Yeah.
You were correct.
Yeah.
I'm glad you caught that.
Yeah. This is a thanks, Tim, for writing the letter and taking one for the team. We're going to go ahead and watch and see how that goes for you before we really dig our heels in.
Yeah. Did it seem like that?
Yeah. I think it seemed like it because that's what it is.
It is the most, it's a milquetoast endorsement. It's milquetoast support. It is so frustrating. He had such an opportunity to say something meaningful and important, and instead he just tweeted a bunch of nonsense.
Well, but did he, take this aside, right? And we would hope that if pressed with the same circumstances that Apple is, that Google would respond the same way and not just immediately set about developing a version of Android that would, you know, allow the government to hack into it. And I think it's really important that people understand that that's what's being asked is, you know, the feds are saying, Apple, you must develop a version of iOS that lets us hack it without any negative consequences. And we hope that Google would respond the same way, but we don't know. However, taking that out of it, Google's not really standing on the moral high ground that Apple is when it comes to customer data and security and privacy and all of that. I mean, they sell customer data to fund everything.
We have a timeout. We have a problem here. I'm not recording you.
That's bad. I am. So let's just keep going. We'll use my recording. It's fine.
Okay.
Yeah. It's all good. So yeah, that's the big concern, right? Is that Google's not, you know, would it be, what else would they open themselves up to if their CEO came out and said the exact same thing Tim Cook did? It's like, okay, wait a minute. You believe this. All right. Now we have all these, forget about that. We have all these other things we'd love to discuss with you as your customers.
Well, I'm not sure what you're actually saying there, Dave.
Well, what I'm saying is, you know, Google doesn't have the history of protecting customer data that Apple does, right? I mean, Tim Cook stands up all the time and says, we don't sell our customers. And, you know, effectively pointing the finger at Google, saying they do, but we don't, right? So if Google comes up and says, we value our customers' privacy above all else, people are going to say, are you sure about that?
But that's not what Google has to do here to still support this issue. Google can instead support the concepts, the background concepts of creating any kind of backdoor, of against creating any kind of backdoor, against the idea of introducing any kind of weaknesses in or even inventing any kind of weaknesses that could possibly be exploited by the bad guys, or even if they wanted to take the strictly legal high road is not the right word. If they just wanted to go after the sort of esoteric aspect of the government should not be compelling us to create tools to surveil people.
Yeah, but what if they already have? What if Android? Wait, there's nobody is out there saying Android doesn't have this back door.
That's true, but no one has accused Android of having it either.
No, but no one. I mean. We wouldn't necessarily know. Well, so
yeah, chime in, John.
One thing, David, is that the very first tweet already kind of cuts his own feet out from under him with regard to that concern. Meaning, hey, if we start talking about privacy too much, maybe somebody will notice that Google doesn't protect privacy as much as Apple, right? But to note that forcing companies to enable hacking could compromise users' privacy, well, that already brings up the issue somewhat, right? They've already opened up themselves to the criticism on the advertising front and whatnot.
Sure.
It's such a – I agree with Brian. It's such a meek and meaningless kind of string of statements. It's kind of like saying, hey, you know, radioactive waste could be of concern to our health and we should, you know, be really careful about it. Okay, well, thanks for stating the, you know, obvious. In addition, you know, we're on Earth and there's a nitrogen-oxygen mix of gases that are keeping us alive, and that's important too, I guess. But it's kind of missing what is some really interesting and I think first-time-ever kind of broached issues. So maybe it's worth taking a step back to see, you know, what is the government actually asking for? And there's kind of talk of backdoors and changing the operating system. And these things are getting a bit mixed up, sometimes because people just don't know the difference. Sometimes, and the technical differences here are important and subtle.
They are, yeah, yes.
So, you know, what we're talking about here from the court order is kind of an interesting revelation about just how secure Apple devices are. I haven't really seen anyone talk about this, but you know, everything that's encrypted, you watch TV and whatnot, you always see someone breaking in, doing some kind of brute force hack on it, right, with dictionary attacks and whatnot. And you just assume that the government has this ability, right, that even if they don't have a back door, at least they can just sit there and have, you know, the equivalent of 100 or million computer robot monkeys typing in the passwords until they get in there, right? And Apple's security system goes so far that the government doesn't even have the ability to do that. So what they're, or at least they're purporting that they need help with that. Because one of Apple's features is not only do they encrypt things, but they make it so if you get the password wrong too many times, it'll delete everything that's on the phone. And so the court order is asking for the Apple to modify its operating system software, not to provide it a backdoor key, or to decrypt it, which Apple says, you know, they can't do, at least for the newer operating systems like iOS 8 and 9. But they're saying, hey, just don't make the phone delete it when we put in too many wrong passwords, so we can try to brute force attack this and get rid of some of the delays after you get too many things wrong. So one, that's a technically different question. You know, Apple could have taken the easy road here and just said, yeah, we're still not, you know, compromising passwords and encryption, because if you chose a stupid password like 1234, well, you know, shame on you, right? And this seems to be an important enough reason where we might even forego some of these operating system level protections that are further enhancements atop the encryption. So the government's trying to thread this needle and saying, we're not forcing you to give us keys and back doors that everyone could use. Just let us, you know, at least attack this more intelligently. And this brings up not only a few interesting legal questions that probably are too boring to get into, but it also brings up this issue to me, two highlights. One, man, is this either Apple's operating system is so super secure, or is the government really that grossly incompetent? Because what's stopping the government? I've always assumed that once they get a disk image of anything that's encrypted, they put it on a supercomputer, and that supercomputer is putting in a billion, you know, passwords a second to try and crack this. Because why would you ever try to put in passwords on the device itself? An iPhone is not exactly a fast speed demon to be doing, you know, dictionary attacks on an encrypted package. It sounds to me, from a high level,
I haven't thought about that.
It's totally disingenuous. You're not going to do this attack on the phone. So the fact that they want this,
yeah, but wait, but they, I think they are going to do that attack on the phone. We're treating the government as a single entity, and it's not, right? I think the people in charge of this investigation don't necessarily have access to or the sympathies of the folks who manage the very supercomputer you're talking about, right?
I think normally you would have an excellent point that the average baloney, you know, corporate espionage case where the FBI or something is involved, they only have their resources. But when you're talking an act of terrorism on an issue that's so hot today, right, on ISIS, every politician is being asked these questions, there's little doubt that the NSA couldn't be pulled in on this one, right?
Yeah, but we don't
And
know.
There's little doubt that they wouldn't, on something this momentous, coordinate a bit and actually put this on a supercomputer. So I think your point is totally valid. On an average case, this is not that average case, in my opinion. But
yeah, but know, given the political timing of this with Snowden and everything, I don't know that the NSA wants to get involved in being, you know, it's like, you know what, go see if Apple will do this for you first.
Well, there is a legitimate reason why they might want to do something as stupid as run a dictionary attack on passwords on an iPhone, right? There's two reasonably plausible ones. One's more tinfoil hat and one is more reasonable. If the password is just a four code password and not one of, they didn't enable the alphanumeric passwords that are much more difficult to crack, well, yeah, you're going to crack that in a minute, even on an iPhone, because it only has to go through 10,000 permutations before it hits. And all they needed to do is not delete.
Right.
So in that case, makes total sense. If it's an alphanumeric one, there's no way. That's millions of years on an iPhone, right? You need a supercomputer to hack it. And it needs to be off on another device, and that's where they're going to do it more realistically. And let's face it, they're not leaving the only copy of what is imaged on that phone on that device. There's been a backup made a long time ago. So even if they did 10 wrong entries and the iPhone deleted it, they have a backup and they could, you know, keep going at it ad nauseum. The other reason is a political one. Maybe the NSA has such weight that they say, you know what, we're a little lazy on this topic. Why don't you guys try it the easy way first, as if the easy way is suing, you know, Apple and forcing the issue. But I guess maybe I'm a tinfoil wearing, hat wearing kind of fella where I think, hey, this is a perfect test case, right? You've got such amazing facts. You're going to get such great sympathy because it's a terrorist action from the people of the United States, that you're never going to have a better test case than this to push the biggest opponent of putting in backdoors and aides to help the government than this test case where the U.S. was attacked.
All right, and so I'm going to put my tinfoil hat on and agree with you. Right. That this is the perfect test case. And because I love my tinfoil hat, I believe I emotionally support all conspiracy theories, whether I actually believe in them or not. But, you know, that's where it gets interesting. Let's say they've decided that this is exactly what you just described. This is the test case. Well,
and just to help us look handsome in our tinfoil hats, the Wall Street Journal put out an article saying basically that this is the perfect test case that the FBI has been looking for, and they've been waiting for this.
Sure.
And now that's what they're using it for.
But they need they need public sympathy on their side, right?
Right.
So the first thing you do is have a very public, you know, head to head with the company that's been saying no, no, no all the way along. And it just so happens that's been handed to you because it's an iPhone 5S and not a Galaxy S5, right? You know,
it's a 5C, just a
5C. Sorry. Thank you for that. Yeah. I was going to be clever and say 5S versus S5 made all the difference in the world, but I'm wrong. But anyway, and so they need to first have Apple say no. And they sort of, while we're going through this process, sort of gauge the public's reaction and everything like that. And then after they say, well, we lost to Apple, we're going to have to turn and ask our sort of naughty friends over at the NSA if they can help. And they step in and say, sure, we can save the day. But I think this is the first step. If you want to do that, and if you want to believe that conspiracy theory, this is the first step in it.
I agree with everything.
Unless they've already done it with the NSA, but they want to make this evidence admissible. And so they kind of need the rest of this process.
Well, I think there's.
Well, but it's fact or not is not going to be the difference of whether it's admissible or not as evidence. But I agree with everything you said, Dave. But whether or not they actually cracked it or not, I guarantee you there's an image of this, right? There's no chance that the only copy of this data is available on the phone and is going to be deleted.
No way.
But I think it's better than a conspiracy theory, not just because the folks on this cast are so bright and that the Wall Street Journal chimed in with similar thoughts, but it's the most rational thing to do. I don't blame the government for giving a go on this. If it's not going to work for this case, it's not going to work, right?
Well,
so this is their best go. They might
I blame the government for being wrong in principle. It is smart from a legal standpoint. This is their chance to get the precedent set. But the precedent they want isn't going to accomplish what they want to accomplish.
Well, that's more, rather than a pragmatic part of their kind of rationale behind it, it's more of the philosophy behind it, right? And while I certainly agree with you, I'm a big proponent of privacy on a whole number of levels, but I see the rationale from a pragmatic standpoint. If this is what the government wants, and it's a very good and different question of whether they should want it or not, it makes every bit of sense for them to try to do exactly what they're doing in this case, because they're never going to have better facts than this to help support their case.
It's true. All right. We actually are going to end up being short on time. So let's jump to the other topic we were going to discuss, which is the Reuters article that basically accusing Apple of standing up for privacy in the West and kowtowing to the Chinese government in the East.
So I wrote an article for TMO that probably is going to come out any minute after this podcast on the topic. And the author does a pretty sly job of trying to conflate maybe, and we don't know for sure, Apple may have given its source code for viewing, as far as we know, to China, with not giving.
Apple has not said, but China has said that Apple has agreed to security audits.
Right. But what does that mean? A lot of cases, when you have proprietary software, you are not going to hand it over to a country that is particularly known for not caring a heck of a lot about intellectual property rights. So what is a perfectly reasonable thing for to occur in a software audit in that circumstance is for Apple to have a couple engineers say, here's the source base. You guys can sit at our machine and look at, and review all the source all you want to make sure we don't have backdoors to our software that is somehow snooping on China, which is a concern after the NSA revealed just how much snooping it's been doing around the world. So in some ways, it's really an offensive article because the reason why China wanted to do those audits in that instance was to determine there were no backdoors. And what the government wants, the U.S. government wants here, is the ability for Apple to either put in a backdoor, which they've asked for in the past, or in this case, at least help them crack the operating system a bit more easily, which a lot of people say is akin to like a master key or some kind of key anyway, to get into the phone. So the purposes of those things are really different. And there's decent precedent that if the U.S. government demanded that Apple provide its source code, that Apple
in the same way that China did.
Right. That Apple would be compelled under court order to give its source code. But the irony of all this, this noise in this article, is that wouldn't help unlock even a single iPhone because that's not how encryption works. If you go to GitHub and just search for the word encryption, there's over 6,500 packages that will let you encrypt things with the source code fully available. And if you encrypt anything with any of those packages, if the government doesn't have a key, they can't get into it. And most security experts and encryption experts love having open the source code revealed to everyone because that helps prove there are no backdoors in it. So conflating showing source code with somehow being the equivalent of not putting in a backdoor and that those actions are somehow the same is disingenuous at best, in my opinion.
It's either disingenuous or it is founded in an astounding level of ignorance.
Yeah. That's the nicest way I could put it. So
it's one of the two. Any thoughts, Dave?
I totally agree. Yeah, I mean the best thing about open source encryption is exactly that, right? That we all know exactly how it works. There's no questions. There's no backdoors, and yet nobody can crack it. Well, if it's strong enough, and we all get to test that, right? That's the beauty.
No, right.
It's good stuff. Yeah.
And so this, gets a touch bit political, and maybe that's the understatement of the week or month or year, in that, the same argument that a lot of gun rights advocates use, usually on the right, is that, hey, if you take away a law-abiding citizen's ability to have a gun, the criminals will still have it. And that argument applies, I think, way more powerfully to encryption, meaning if you put in a backdoor on Apple devices, the criminals will not use that device. They will use any of the 6,500 plus open source packages to make their own custom encryption that's totally secure and unbreakable. And in the meantime, all the law-abiding citizens will lose their right to privacy. So it's something that...
Including privacy from the bad guys.
Right, and definitely including privacy from the bad guys, because once there's any exposure... The mobs in various countries that do nothing but hack these devices, and everyone, it'll be open. If it's open for one person, eventually it'll be open for everyone, and it's just an insecure device. So that argument just is very clear cut for anyone that knows anything about encryption. The bad guys have tons of open source software that they can use. And they'll just go to a different package. In the meantime, all the law-abiding citizens will be using systems that are insecure.
All right, we're running out of time, but the real point here is that Reuters did a hit job on Apple, and it's a bit shameful.
A little clickbaity.
Yeah, a lot clickbaity. All right, we are unfortunately out of time, which means that I'm going to thank you very much, John, for joining us.
Thank you, guys.
We appreciate it. Dave, thanks for being here, too.
My pleasure.
And this is where I hit the outro music. Everyone have a great day.